Plumbers become super plumbers, installing a super quick water dispenser. Superquick.com.au.
Biggest story in Brisbane today was Kevin Walters leaving the Broncos.
And that fight between him and Wayne Bennett was real.
Right, okay, no, it wasn't. He told us it wasn't, despite what you said.
So there's no truth to the rumour that he threw a ball at Wayne Bennett's head.
Mm. No, but you've just started.
And Wayne
really
tried to run over with him in his car as he left training.
Yeah, okay, that's another really
back over
one.
Him.
We're the only station that spoke to Kevin Walters. Everyone else was speculating. We spoke to the source himself. You'll hear him.
And yet we're still speculating.
That's true.
No, we're also making all that stuff up.
We also
spoke to Rusty Crowe was on the show.
Yeah. He's got his big option.
Slid in for a dart and a pizza.
Enjoy the catch-up.
Kevin Walters, the assistant coach of the Broncos and Origin head coach. I tell you what, so he's split with Wayne Bennett yesterday, if you didn't know, after four rounds of the NRL. Courier Mail trying to stir up a bit of trouble. Sources told the Courier Mail that Bennett's reluctance to accept new methods frustrated Walters and were part of the reason he left.
Well, let's find out. We've got him, the man himself, Kevin Walters. Good morning.
Good morning, Robin. How are you?
Yeah, good, Kevy. What are you doing? What's going on? And tell us the truth, not the press release.
I'm just going through the pages here in the Courier Mail of job ads, trying to get a job somewhere now.
What are you good at?
Carpentry school.
Oh, Paul, I saw that fence you built.
Yeah. Yeah, no, look, exactly what's in the paper. You know, I went down to the launch of the State of Origin series in Melbourne, the first games in Melbourne this year. I just want to make sure that everything is right for that series this year. And, you know, I just felt that in the current situation with what I was doing, some people might see me as being a little bit impartial as to, you know, being a little bit biased maybe towards the Broncos. And that's certainly not the case, but, you know, around selection time. And I just felt that I needed to give the Origin my full attention. And, you know, there's totally wrong with saying that Wayne and I have had a blow up or anything like that. That's certainly not the case. We've had always had a good relationship, regardless of what everyone says, you know, throughout the paper or through the media channels. And Wayne's been nothing but supportive of me coming back into there and trying to, you know, get the Broncos going. So I just want to throw that line, that rubbish out and get the real facts out there of why I actually am moving on.
So how do you quit the Broncos? Dobbo suggested to us earlier this morning you told Whitey and then you told Wayne.
No. I went in and saw Wayne yesterday morning after coming back from Melbourne on Tuesday and Paul White. And we had a discussion, and we all felt that it was in, you know, the best interest for me to. I suggested that it should be time that I move on and get my head around Origin with 63 sleeps or 62 sleeps now to Origin, and I just want to make sure that I get that right. So it was an open discussion between us all, and there was no arguing or no, you know, we're all one. We, you know, I love the Broncos, I love the club, and I love what they're doing. I want to see them be successful, and also. My real passion is the Maroons and coaching Queensland. We've had two good years, and this year is going to be a difficult one with no Thurston and no Cooper Cronk for starters, without going through the other injuries that may come up, you know, in the next 5 or 6 weeks. So we've just got to make sure that we get that right for Queenslanders, and I want to make sure that I get it right as well for me personally.
So the State of Origin series is three games. Can you not possibly just do both?
Well, I the pre-season was fine with no other real commitments, but I also had an ongoing commitment with Fox, which I, you know, they're a good company as well. Great to work for.
Aren't
so I
they?
Didn't sort of,
great company.
Yeah, that, so and also the last Broncos were the last engagement that I took on, so I felt it was fair that would be the first one.
Last in, first gone, you know? Yeah.
So I'm pretty fair about things and also very honest, and I can assure everyone there's no rift between Wayne Bennett and I, and it's been really good for me, as the club have as well, in coming back there. And, you know, it's not quite happening for the Broncos at the moment, but knowing the coach that Wayne Bennett is and also Jason DiVittorio's in there and Kurt Richards, they've got a great coaching staff and they will be back before long. Hopefully they'll get a win up on Saturday night.
But it's the halves that aren't firing. Who's going to work with them if you're not there?
Well, they worked okay last year, didn't they, with Cody Nicarima and Anthony Milford. I think Darius Boyd, you know, everyone's talking about the Broncos halves, but Darius Boyd missed most of the pre-season with his hamstring, and he's a real key, you know, for the Broncos. And also, and not sort of making excuses for the Broncos, but most of their spine, Milford's had a shoulder operation and didn't do a lot of pre-season training. Andrew McCulloch had the leg injury, only came back in round one, and Darius Boyd didn't do a lot of pre-season as well. So the four of them, they're the most important positions on the field for the Broncos, and they haven't done a lot of training. We've seen it with the Cowboys as well, with their preparation. They've been a bit clunky, as have the Melbourne Storm. So early rounds yet for the Broncos, and I'm sure they'll get themselves. They've got too many good players there to sit where they are in 10th.
Hey, what do you, when you left yesterday, you leave your job at the Broncos, what do you take with you? What do you clear out of your desk?
I took my briefcase, which had an apple and an orange in it. I'd always hungry.
Oh, good on
and
you.
And I left, but Alfie's got a desk in there as well. He's got a stapler and a bit of whiteout. That's his full bank.
All right, we're looking forward to State of Origin, only a few months away.
Thanks, Kevy.
You, you didn't have to explain yourself to anyone this morning, Kevy, so I really appreciate you coming on.
No worries. Good as gold.
Commonwealth Games kicked off last night.
Oh, yeah. A lot of question marks. If you got through the syrup that was Channel 7's hour before it started from 7 to 8, oh, my God. God, that's a, what's Todd Woodbridge doing there? That's a question.
Well, he's a Channel 7 commentator. They were pulling him out of everywhere.
Oh, anyway. And do you reckon Tonga and Vanuatu would have been happy with the Divinals' I Touch Myself as they walked into the stadium? Were they happy with that, do you think?
Well, do you know what?
What?
That song should never be sung by a man.
That's so true. Everyone got to go last night. Did you realise there were so many nations? They even wheeled. Did you remember this one?
Give a big welcome to St. Helena.
That's an island in Moreton Bay. What were they doing? What were they up to there? Oh, God. And then if you missed it, I bet you didn't stay up late enough. Prince Charles's address. This is what he read from his reading a note from your mum. That's what he was doing.
Your Excellencies, Prime Minister, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll pull him down.
My wife and I could not be more delighted.
My wife and I.
We could not be more delighted. We went around the botanical gardens. There's a child there eating an ice cream. God, I hate myself and this job. I'm bored to tears. Throw a javelin at me. Please end it. Oh, God. Why is the Prime Minister texting? Look at me, you stupid man. Oh, God. I'm married to a horse.
Big breakfast. Triple M.
That big auction of Russell Crowe's The Art of Divorce is on Saturday. Did you see him last night? He was talking about, he's got to get rid of all this stuff.
It's also fun to think about the next person, going, I've always wanted that.
Okay, Russ. You
see was that on the project?
Oh, no, he was wandering around Channel 7 before that hour before the Commonwealth Games started. Did you see the size of him? Looked like Matt Preston and had eaten him.
Hey, Marto, he's just here. Hey, Marto, what are you talking about?
Oh, mate, I saw the size of you, Russ.
Yeah, I'm getting around in a pair of elastic pants at the moment because I am swelling, but I call it preparing. I'm just preparing.
Preparing for what?
Oh, you got a roll coming up?
I'm preparing. Well, I haven't actually got a roll, but if there's a roll for a very fat person, the Matt Preston story. Maybe there's a script out there about Chrissy Swan. Who knows? I'm just.
Oh, Rusty.
I mean, maybe Buddy, John Candy. I'm just saying, you're just got to be prepared. Yeah. I'm ready. Why wouldn't you do a film about a larger person? People want to see that stuff.
A lot of grey hair. I don't know how much money. Should I address Russell or just talk to you, Robert?
Well, you can speak straight to me, Marta. I was on the project last night, Robert. You probably saw me. Yeah, thanks for the light there, Brendo. Got three going on the one. No, I was talking about how I was drinking bourbon with Ed Sheeran at a Johnny Cash's Grammy Award. I also bought some Grammy Awards. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, it's true. The Folsom Prison Blues and Ring of Fire.
Oh, from Johnny Cash. Hey, listen, how's things going? Yeah, sorry, mate. Russ, how's things going with the auction? You're all sorted?
Yeah, it's looking pretty good. And I just, like I said, just at the beginning there, I get excited about somebody else owning this stuff. So anyway, guys, I'm just going to pop out for a smoke.
Okay.
But you're already having
one. Haven't been smoking. You're smoking three at the moment, but that's all right.
I'm going to go outside and smoke this. Plus, I've got to have a pizza.
Okay. I don't think you do.
Lou has had to cancel her credit card because
we
discovered. Yes, Lou, my wife. Lou, my second wife, she discovered on the weekend that her card had been defrauded, and I think it's a pretty good system. The bank that she was with actually called her and said, Mrs. Mooney, there's some transactions that, we think are fraudulent because they're happening in an area where you're not normally shopping, and these have you bought any of these items? And she said, no. And they cancelled her card over the phone.
They rang her on Easter weekend.
They rang her on an Easter weekend.
Wow.
In fact, it was Good Friday when they rang her, and they said, are you doing any of this stuff? And she said, no. And I could hear the conversation. I was like, what's going on? And she finally gets off the phone, and they'd given her a list of transactions. And then she started to get a little bit annoyed that the credit card people thought that that might be her. She
goes, why? What were the transactions?
It was really funny. First of all, there was a real big spend up at Nando's.
Possible.
They went sick at Nando's. But the thing is, people are doing this online, so they must have been ordering Nando's to a particular address. So I figure it can't be too
pop
hard
around.
To trace.
Or yeah, they did
around.
Pick up. Nah, you wouldn't be that stupid to do delivery, would you?
Yes.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
You
yeah.
really would.
So, but
what else?
They bought Village movie tickets, but they bought movie tickets to a particular film, and they said to her, are you going to see the film Rangroot? Now, that's an Indian film. It's from Bollywood, and it's playing in, you know, small release. And they said, and also shopping at Cotton On. So armed with that, Lou started to racially profile.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I said, let's just hold the racism back just for a moment. She goes, I know exactly who they are.
But the whole credit card hacking thing is full on.
They're getting better. Yesterday afternoon, all right, about 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, text message or email, one of the two on my phone, and I look at it and they've turned my card off. Same thing.
That drives me nuts.
No, but they gave me an option. If you've bought something at Proud's at Brookside, it was Kath's card. We share the same credit card, but same account, but different cards. So they said you've got to send back a one, push one, if you have shopped there. So I had to ring Kath, have you been to Brookside? Because normally she goes to Stafford or Newmarket. She's gone to Brookside, so they've decided that's out of the ordinary. So they cancel the card, and then they won't turn it back on until I send them a note.
Was it nice jewelry?
Proceed. I don't know what she got something fixed on a watch or something. It was $40.
Oh, I was getting excited.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't that. It was $40 at a place she doesn't normally shop at, and they're
all
on
over it.
Because they're getting so badly roached by everyone.
Yeah, they have.
That's
to.
Right. And of course, they have to pay for it. What happens is, though, the money that's spent stays off Lou's card, they said, for 45 days.
Investigation?
But the investigation came back yesterday, it's already been resolved in a matter of days. So they've obviously tracked them down, or they're satisfied that it's not her and they've returned the money to the card.
Hold on. Does she have to get a new card?
Yes.
That's
so she's got to go through all
that's
the numbers.
The pain.
Yeah, so you've got to go through all the ones that, you know, direct debit on your card. And we want to know, have you been hacked? And if you were, what did they get? Because, you know, it's happening all the time and people are being sent spurious messages that you've won some British lottery, give us your bank details.
Yeah, no.
So we want to know, have you been hacked? What did you lose? And
that poor Nigerian guy who keeps on offering, if he ever dies, he'll just have $30 million that never got claimed in his account.
Glenn from Bribey Island, good morning.
How are you?
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah, actually, I didn't get hacked, but I was in China on a business trip and I booked into the hotel and I swiped the credit card for the book-in, and then within 5 minutes my phone rang and it was the Commonwealth Bank asking me, was I in China?
Yeah, they like you to tell them before you head overseas, because otherwise they just think somebody's having a go.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with the service, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Absolutely.
So I was had different thoughts about them then.
Right.
For a fleeting moment.
Yeah, well, you know, it's in their best interest, because if you aren't in China and they need to stop your card, then otherwise they'll have to pay it. Thank you, Glenn.
Did you see CommBank's pulled out of Australian cricket? Like pulled out of sponsoring, was it Dave Warner?
Have they?
They don't like hanging around with cheats, obviously.
Oh, Paul of Bribey Island.
Personal opinion only.
Have you had credit card fraud?
Yes, I did.
What is that? What was it?
I woke up one morning and got to check my bank, online banking early one morning, and there was $4,200 in two separate transactions, a $600 and a $3,500 that I'd apparently spent in a motel in San Francisco.
Oh, top night. Top night.
Yeah. So I got on the bank straight away, obviously in a bit of a cold sweat, but they... I cancelled the card. And the card was only actually new. It was because a previous card had expired. I'd only used it once. My wife only used the same account once. And so we don't know what happened. But
you don't know how they got onto it. How does this happen?
No, I had some probably ugly thoughts as well, but they're probably way off beat. But as I say, I used the card once, and the wife used the card once on the island here. But yeah, the $600 transaction was returned within about four or five days, and I kept ringing to find out as to how the investigation was going, and they couldn't tell me anything. But it's about 5 weeks later, I finally got the $3.5 back, but no word on any results. Mm.
So the banks are just wearing that $4,100. They just have to continually wear that time and again.
Because they don't have.
Well, it seems to be. Yeah, it seems to be. I actually said to the bloke in the bank, "What's the downside for the crook? It seems to be that he just spends up. They give me the money back, and everybody's happy."
Yeah. Did they didn't tell you what the downside is?
No. They didn't give me an answer to that. No.
How do you spend $3,500 on a hotel overnight?
Hotel
room service.
Hotel California, I tell you what.
Craig of Yatla, what happened?
I had not only my credit card, but my ID stolen, and they tried to get a phone and credit with a home loan from one of the major banks.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So the phone company jumped on it because I live in, obviously I live in Yatla, and they were trying to get a phone in Melbourne, mailed down to someone in Melbourne, new iPhone. And, and then one of the major banks asked me to come in and sign some documents. I'm like, no, that doesn't sound right. I don't remember filling out any of that stuff. And, tried to get credit cards and home loans in my name.
So, Craig, how long did it take from when you discovered this until it was all finished and finalised?
It took about 2 days because I got a letter from the phone company and calls from the bank. It's still ongoing with the phone company because someone else has tried again to get a phone in my name. So,
oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, fraud, the ID fraud and credit card fraud is a real thing and something more and more.
How are they going to stop it? Because it does. It's getting more and more. How do we stop it?
You can't. I don't know. That one, cash. I don't know. It's just, cash. Go back to cash.
Thank you, Craig.
Cash doesn't have points.
No, that's true. Okay, one of the great things about working at Triple M and sitting next to you, Marto, is that when I need stuff done around my house, I get credible tradespeople who are all your mates. And I have got some renos happening at the moment.
Have you started yet?
Yes, I have. So my partner, Sean, is moving up from Sydney. He's going to be here in May. And rather than move houses, we've decided to do a bit of a renovation in the bathroom and my bedroom to make room for him because I do have 300 pairs of shoes. So I'm basically ripping out the inside of the bedroom and making a kind of walk-in wardrobe and renovating the bathroom. And the wonderful Grant, who is someone that you recommended, and he's doing an awesome job. Anyway, we started the renovations 2 days ago, and then yesterday he said, "Oh, Rob, do you know what this is?" And he called me up to the room. And there's like in a corner, there's a chute that is, there's a hole. There's a hole in the floor.
Where, in your bedroom on the first floor, upstairs?
Yeah, like I'm upstairs and there's just this hole that there's been some sort of kind of plastic put over it and we were trying to work out, is it a laundry chute, but it doesn't actually go to the laundry.
What's below it?
Well, nothing. Like nothing.
It's a void. Was there anything in there?
I know. No. Because I was saying, maybe it was a...
treasure?
Yeah, like maybe it was... Maybe it was something that people had created to hide their safe or to put their valuables. Oh, but no, it was nothing that exciting. And then in the other corner of the room, like completely random, there was also a patch of new floorboards because they'd been carpeted. And so we're ripping up the carpet and I was trying to check whether I could actually get the floorboards sanded back. And then there's this random like new bit where there has clearly been something happened.
And there was another hole there.
Well, must have been.
Tells a lot of stories because the thing is when you walk away from that, you think, oh, well, no one's ever going to check this out. We'll just cover it. Can do dodgy stuff.
So what could that have been? You don't know. As a builder,
The laundry chute sounds likely, but plausible. It's not going to a laundry.
Because I was getting excited because I was thinking, oh, maybe if we're ripping back the carpet, there'll be something that someone scrawled on the floorboards.
Oh, God, the best you... We used to always find under lino newspapers, old newspapers. Like you say, you'd sit there at Smoko and read paper from the 60s and you go, look how cheap beer was then. That's about all I used to find. Like, sometimes you find an old tool.
Oh, really?
A tradesman, a nail punch, nothing really spectacular.
My half-brother, who lives in Oxford in England, he's much, much older than me, he renovates homes and he's working on one at the moment that was in the Shakespearean era and he found a Roman coin.
Oh.
Yeah, let's just say it paid for the renovation.
It paid for the renovation.
The number
of times you hear, you know where people do leave valuable stuff is up in the ceiling and they'll move out and they would have forgotten, or people die and leave leave the cash in tins and stuff like that.
I'd love to know. Have you found anything weird or unusual or cool or valuable?
We used to always write on walls. If you were standing on the ladder about to put a wall on whatever, and you were waiting for the apprentice or whatever to bring something over, you'd just stand there writing your name and what day and what you were doing, what the temperature was on the wall.
Okay, if you found a Greg Martin's signature.
This wasn't really a renovation. I was staying in the Times Square Hotel in New York back in the 80s, and I opened the wardrobe to put my clothes in, and in the back of the wardrobe it had written, "You are the Antichrist." I went, no way.
Hey, it's not a pre-war or anything like that, your house?
No, but it's had all these weird renovations done to it.
So I wasn't used to, you know, shuffle Jewish children between floors of
the
house.
What, in Brisbane?
Safe rooms or anything.
Yeah, during the Brisbane Holocaust. Yeah.
Okay, not funny. Rob, Salisbury.
Little bit.
Rob, what did you find?
Hey, my old man, we were doing a reno for some old lady out middle of nowhere, and we actually found a gun in her wall.
Oh, tell me more. Yeah.
It was an old Schlesinger 22, and it had a whole bunch of rat shot next to it. So my old man and I pulled it out of the wall, found the woman, and we asked her if she wanted it. She said she'd never seen it before, so she said we could have it as a bonus for the reno. Took it down to the police station and got it registered to our account.
Wow.
So now we own an antique Schlesinger rifle. Whoever owned it must have loved it. It had a Hawkeye engraved on the back, hand carved into the butt of the stock.
What do you mean Hawkeye? What is that?
Really good. That was the name of the gun, apparently, or something, or the guy who shot it. Well, that's what he went by.
Oh.
He had Hawkeye engraved on the back, and he actually hand engraved a picture of a hawk flying through the skies onto the butt of the gun.
Jeez.
As opposed to being a fan of MASH.
Yeah.
Might have been Hawkeye from MASH.
Wow, that's weird. There you go. Is it worth anything, Rob?
Probably not. It's only an old 22. Not worth much, but it's a good shooter.
Oh, good one.
There you go. You found out. Wow. Thanks, Rob.
Alan Alda's gun. In his wall. My goodness, it is Brisbane's Triple M Big Breakfast.
Plumbers become super plumbers, installing a super quick water dispenser. Superquick.com.au.